All right, so are you ready to jump into another deep dive with me today? Today, we're looking at the Book of Chronicles, specifically Session 8 of Dr. August Kunkel's lecture series.
Okay.
And he titled this one, An Eternal Kingdom.
Mm.
And he really digs into how the chronicler views King David's reign and this idea of a kingdom that lasts forever,
Right.
which is kind of, heady stuff.
Oh, it's I mean, it's fascinating. It's fascinating how the chronicler goes beyond just recounting the historical events.
Right.
Kunkel actually points out that there are all these wars and conflicts. You know, he calls them ugliness, but he argues that the chronicler really wants us to see God's plan working through all that.
It's like seeing the forest for the trees.
Yes, exactly.
And one example that I think really brings this to life is the journey of the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay.
We learn in the book of Samuel that it was basically abandoned for 20 years. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the sacred object
Right.
that represented God's presence, just sitting there in Kiriath-Jearim.
It really emphasizes that even during these times of peace and prosperity, people can forget their obligations, right? I mean,
Yeah.
remember that the ark was supposed to be at the heart of Israel's worship. It was meant to be there.
Right.
It symbolized the covenant, the agreement between God and his people.
Totally.
So 20 years of neglect, that's a powerful statement by the chronicler.
Yeah, it's like he's saying, look, this is what happens when you forget what's truly important.
Yes.
Which brings us to the story of Uzzah, the guy who touched the ark.
Right.
And that wasn't a good move, as we know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Kunkel had this heated debate with his students about
Excellent.
this very story
Okay.
and this whole concept of holiness in the Hebrew tradition.
Yeah.
His point was that God's reaction, this bursting out or perishish,
Yeah.
wasn't just some random act of cruelty.
Okay.
It was a direct response to the disrespect shown to something holy, something sacred.
I get that it's about respecting what's holy, but I have to admit, it seems like a pretty extreme reaction. I
Yeah.
mean, could there be other ways to interpret this event? You know, maybe something that takes into account the cultural context of the time.
Well, it's definitely it's a challenging passage,
Yeah.
and there are definitely different perspectives on it.
Yeah.
But for the chronicler, it seems to be less about the specific punishment and more about emphasizing the absolute importance of treating the holy with reverence.
So it's not just about blindly following rules.
Right.
It's about understanding that certain things have a deeper meaning, a
Yes.
connection to something much greater than ourselves.
Exactly. And this idea of encountering the sacred is something that resonates across cultures, wouldn't you say? I mean, just think about how different cultures throughout history have approached things like temples, relics, even rituals, things like that.
Absolutely, yeah. I remember one time I visited a temple in Japan, and I just felt this incredible sense of awe and reverence.
Yeah.
And even though I didn't fully understand all the rituals, I could sense that I was in a space that was considered deeply sacred.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why the chronicler makes a point of showing how David, having learned from Uzzah's mistake,
Yeah.
meticulously organizes the Levites to transport the ark the second time around.
Right.
This time, there's no parash, right? Respect for the holy is front and center.
It's a great example of learning from our mistakes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've certainly had my share of moments where I've really messed things up and realized, okay, I got to approach this differently next time.
Right.
It seems like David had one of those aha moments
Oh, definitely.
after the whole Uzi incident.
Absolutely. And the chronicler uses this to highlight David's growth as a leader.
Yeah.
You know, he's not perfect. He makes mistakes,
Right.
but he learns and he adapts. And this commitment to honoring God's will is key to how the chronicler portrays him as a leader.
Speaking of honoring God's will, one thing that struck me was the way that the chronicler uses music.
Okay.
Conkle suggests that he might be weaving in hymns and psalms that were popular in his own time, almost like a soundtrack to the past. What do you make of that?
It's such a, I mean, it's a clever way to add layers of meaning, right?
Yeah.
Kunkel points to Psalms 105, 96, 98, and 106.
Yeah.
They all emphasize God's covenant, his justice, and his blessings on Israel. But then there's also this broader message about God's universal reign, you know, something that goes beyond just the events being described.
It's like he's connecting the dots between different eras,
Yes.
showing how the past resonates with the present
Yeah.
and how God's power extends beyond just one nation or one people. And you know what?
What?
That reminds me of how powerful music can be in our own lives.
Right.
I mean, think about a song that, really moves you deeply or helps you connect with something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind?
Yeah, music has an incredible ability to transport us, right?
Totally.
To evoke those emotions and even shape our understanding of the world. And that's exactly what the chronicler seems to be doing here.
Right.
He's drawing us into this story.
Yes.
It's making us feel the weight of these events and their implications
for
still all time.
It's like he's saying, this isn't just some ancient history. This is something that still matters today.
Exactly.
And that brings us to this whole idea of David trying to establish this eternal kingdom, right?
Right.
And of course, we can't forget the story of the prophet Nathan and his message to David about building a house for God.
Ah, yes. This is where the wordplay gets really interesting.
Okay.
Conkle points out that the word house isn't just about a physical building.
Right.
It's about a dynasty.
Right.
A lineage, a people.
Right. Just like we see in Psalm 127, where it talks about how unless the Lord builds the house, the people, the watchman watches in vain.
Yes.
It's not about bricks and mortar. It's about something much more enduring.
Exactly. And David's response to this prophecy really highlights his humility.
Okay.
He acknowledges that God's kingdom is eternal, far grander than anything that he could ever build with his own two hands.
Yeah, it's almost like he's saying, hold on, who am I to build a house for God?
Yeah.
He's the one who chose me. He's the one who lifted me up from being a shepherd.
Right.
It's a powerful moment of, self-awareness, I think.
Absolutely. And it speaks to the core of what the chronicler is trying to convey, which is this isn't just about David.
Right.
It's about God's enduring plan for his people.
Yeah.
And that plan, that eternal kingdom, transcends time and place.
It's this incredible story that unfolds across generations. And we've just scratched the surface. I'm really curious to see where this deep dive takes us next.
Yeah.
So we're talking about this concept of an eternal kingdom and how it starts to take shape, during David's reign.
Right.
It seems like bringing the Ark to Jerusalem was a pretty significant step in that whole process.
Yeah, it was a symbolic act, really.
Okay.
Think of it as establishing a spiritual center.
Okay.
For this kingdom, a place where God's presence would be tangibly felt.
But Conkle mentions that the tabernacle, the portable sanctuary where the Ark was kept during the Exodus.
Right.
It was still in Gibeon at that time.
Right.
So there were actually two centers of worship.
Yeah, that's right. And it's almost like this split foreshadows the, the divided kingdom that we see later after Solomon's reign.
I hadn't thought of it like that.
Right.
Wow. That seemingly minor detail suddenly feels, loaded with significance.
Well, the chronicler is very deliberate in his storytelling.
Yeah.
And for now, David is really focused on establishing Jerusalem as this new religious and political center.
And the way he goes about it is fascinating. He involves everyone.
Yeah.
The Levites, the priests, the musicians.
Yes.
It's this grand orchestrated event.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I was really struck by how much emphasis Conkle put on the role of music in this process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't just background noise. It was central to the whole experience.
It wasn't just entertainment.
Right.
It was theological.
Yeah.
I mean, those hymns and psalms were proclaiming truths about God's power.
Yeah.
His faithfulness.
Right.
His covenant with Israel. They were shaping how people understood, their relationship with the divine.
It's making me think about how we often really underestimate the power of music. I mean, it can change our mood.
Right.
It can inspire us.
Totally.
Even transport us to another time or place.
Absolutely. And remember, Conkle pointed out that some of these psalms, like Psalm 96 and 98, they actually talk about God's reign over all nations.
Right.
It's not just about Israel. I mean, there's a universal message there.
So even though these events are happening in a very specific time and place, thousands of years ago.
Right.
The chronicler wants us to see that they have implications that go way beyond ancient Israel.
Yeah, think of it like ripples spreading out from a stone thrown into a pond.
Okay.
The impact of what David is doing, this whole idea of establishing an eternal kingdom, it extends outward, to all of humanity.
So we're starting to see how this kingdom takes shape.
Yeah.
But what does it mean for David?
Hmm.
Like, how does he embody this concept of an eternal kingdom?
Well, One key aspect is his humility.
Okay.
When Nathan delivers that message from God about building a house, you know, that symbolic dynasty we talked about.
Right.
David's response is incredible.
Yeah.
He basically says, who am I to build a house for God?
Right.
He's the one who chose me.
It's almost like he's saying, I'm not the hero of the story. God is.
Right.
Which is a pretty radical idea.
Yeah.
Especially in a world where, you know, leaders are often all about power and self-promotion.
Yeah. It's a great example of, you know, servant leadership.
Yeah.
David recognizes that he's part of something much bigger.
Yeah.
And his role is to serve God's purposes.
It really challenges us to think about what true leadership looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not about ego.
Right.
It's not about personal gain.
Exactly.
But it's about, you know, using your influence
right.
to advance something greater than yourself.
And that brings us to a really important theme in Chronicles. This whole interplay between human action and divine providence.
I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Well, the chronicler wants us to see that God is working through human events, even when things get messy or complicated.
Right.
He's guiding history, right, toward his ultimate goal.
So it's not like, you know, God is this puppet master controlling every little detail.
Right.
But he's also not absent.
Right.
You know, or indifferent. Yeah. It's more like this intricate dance.
Yes.
Between, you know, human choice and divine guidance.
Exactly. And this concept of, you know, an eternal kingdom is really central to understanding God's plan.
Okay.
It's not just about establishing a physical kingdom or political power.
Right.
It's about something much, you know, deeper and more enduring.
So what is it about then? What's at the heart of this eternal kingdom?
It's about creating a community of people who are committed to living in accordance with God's will,
right?
You know, who reflect his character and his values out in the world.
Yeah.
And that's a project that continues, you know, to this very day.
Wow. That's a powerful thought.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, how can we, you know, living thousands of years after David, be a part of this eternal kingdom?
Right.
How do we connect to this ancient story and find meaning in it, you know, for our own lives?
That's a great question. And I think the answer really lies in recognizing the timeless principles that are woven throughout this whole narrative.
Timeless principles, you say. So what are some that really stand out to you from this deep dive into David's story and this whole idea of an eternal kingdom?
Well, you know, we've already talked about respecting the sacred
and
the importance of humility and leadership, understanding that it's not about personal gain.
Right.
It's about, you know, serving something much larger than yourself.
And of course, we can't forget the power of music.
Right.
The way that it can shape our understanding of the world.
Yeah.
And connect us to something bigger.
Right.
It's been a recurring theme throughout this whole deep dive, really.
Yeah. I mean, music has a unique ability to move us, right?
Absolutely.
To convey truth.
Right.
In ways that words sometimes can't.
Yeah.
It's a universal language that transcends time and culture. So, you know, it makes perfect sense that the chronicler would use it.
Yeah.
And use it so effectively.
It's making me think about how we often compartmentalize things in our modern world.
Yeah.
You know, separating the sacred from the secular.
Yeah.
But for the chronicler, it seems like it's all interconnected.
Yeah. That's a really insightful observation, I think.
Yeah.
The chronicler doesn't see these artificial divisions. He sees God's hand at work in every aspect of life.
I mean,
politics, warfare, music, family relationships, it's all part of this grand tapestry.
So what does this all mean for us today?
Yeah.
How can we apply these ancient ideas to our own lives?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't live in a monarchy.
Right.
And we don't have an Ark of the Covenant to worry about.
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do we connect these ancient stories to, you know, to our modern lives?
Right.
I think it starts with recognizing that, you know, that we are all a part of something bigger than ourselves. You know, we're part of this ongoing story, a story that's been unfolding for centuries, really. A story of God's love and faithfulness to his people.
And that story doesn't end with David or even with the chronicler.
Right.
It continues on.
Yeah.
And we're invited to play a part in it.
Absolutely.
We might not be kings or prophets, but we can still choose to live in a way that honors God, that reflects his values and his love in the world.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like we're all building blocks in this eternal kingdom.
Right.
Each contributing in our own unique ways to something that's far greater than the sum of its parts.
That's a beautiful image. And it makes you think, doesn't it? I mean, how does this idea of an eternal kingdom, whether we understand it literally or symbolically,
right,
how does it, you know, challenge our understanding of history and our place in it?
Mm.
It definitely gives you a new perspective, I think.
It does.
Instead of just focusing on our own, you know, little corner of the world, it encourages us to see the bigger picture.
Right.
To recognize that we're a part of something much grander and more enduring.
Yes.
Something that gives meaning and purpose to our lives.
And maybe, just maybe, that realization can give us a sense of hope.
Right.
Even in the midst of all, you know, all the challenges and uncertainties that we face in life.
Yeah.
Knowing that we're part of something that transcends, you know, time and space.
Totally.
Something that ultimately rests in God's hands.
So there you have it. Another deep dive in the books. This time, a deep dive into the concept of an eternal kingdom. Guided by, you know, Dr. August Konkol and the timeless wisdom of the chronicler.
Yeah, it's been a rich and thought-provoking conversation.
Absolutely.
And we hope it's given you some new insights into this ancient text and its enduring relevance for our lives today.
But, as always, the real journey begins when you step away from this deep dive and, you know, start asking your own questions.
Right.
What does it mean to be part of something that transcends time and space?
Hmm.
How can we live out the values of this eternal kingdom, you know, in our own lives today? These are, you know, questions worth pondering, and we encourage you to keep exploring them. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Book of Chronicles.
It's been a pleasure.